Blog Talk Radio.
I'm your host, Evangelist Hilda, sitting in for my pastor, Prophet R.D. Wiggins, who is the pastor of House of Manessa Christian Ministries, and we are a church beyond walls. I'd like to first of all take this time to thank you for tuning in, and this is Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Friday from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m. this evening, our very own Lady Nadine Wiggins will be here with our lesson this evening and talk through the Bible by Bruce Wickinson. So if you would like to join us, please feel free to dial in 319-527-6204. You can also call in your prayer requests at the same number, Our motto comes from James chapter 5, verse 16, and it says, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that ye may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. To God be the glory. Father God, I just want to thank you for this ministry and vision. And I pray your Holy Spirit manifest a breakthrough of deliverance, healing, and salvation through all nine of its gifts, and that this prayer ministry grows in partnership, fellowship, and membership. In the mighty name of your Son, Jesus, we do pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. At this time, I'd like to welcome in the Holy Spirit into the sanctuary, because we never like to start our broadcast or our service without inviting the Holy Spirit to come into the midst of it all. So Holy Spirit, you are welcome here by Francesca. Praise be to God.
There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. No thing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of love, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come your glory, God is worthy.
glory. God is what our hearts long for, to be overcome by your presence, Lord.
Amen. Praise be to God. Lord, our righteousness. I have no righteousness of my own that comes from obeying the law, but the righteousness I have comes through faith in Christ. It is the righteousness that depends entirely on faith. Through this faith, you gave me a clean slate of purity, bought and earned through the life of Christ. I praise you for your goodness and grace and for the mercies you give me each and every moment of every day. For my sake, you made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him I might become the righteousness of God. Thank you. Amen. Amen and amen.
My heart and soul and mind, I pray to you. behind the music page and where to lose yourself. You will never cease praising you, Father. For you will come as a full appreciation of your glory. For as long as we live to magnify your name, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Worship the Lord with me, somebody. Forever we love you. Forever we live to worship you, Lord. We bless you, Jesus.
I live for you.
Keeps my mind, the grace you've shown towards me. I just can't believe how you never turned away when I pushed you far away. You're the light that breathes through me. Now I've been set free. Follow me, I still can't believe how you never let me go, how you never lost your hope. You keep proving your love to me. Thank you.
to God, in spite of me. You are listening to Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m. this evening, our very own Lady Nadine Wiggins will be here with our lesson and talk through the Bible. If you would like to join us and call in your prayer request at 319-527-6204. To God be the glory.
In the dichotomy of man, my flesh cries out because my burdens get heavy and my mind seems confused. But my spirit answers back and says, don't worry. God is right there. He's never failed. He will fight every battle. I've learned to trust in the Lord.
I trust in Jesus, he's my friend.
God, it is now time for our devotional message, amen, which is entitled Choices. And the scripture reading for this message is coming from Psalms chapter 25, verse 12. And it says, who is the man who fears the Lord? He will instruct him in the way he should choose. Amen. Praise God. Amen. The second aspect of God's plan is his desire or permissive will. This is where the Lord has expressed his will, and we will have opportunity to honor him or go our own way. The Lord's desired will is neither irresistible nor unconditional. Rather, God gives you choices so you can exercise your free will in obeying him. He does so for the purpose of having a genuine love relationship with you. For example, consider Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. Why did the Father leave them with the one prohibition for the simple reason that the Lord wanted to give them an opportunity to love and respect him freely through their obedience to his command? Without free will, without a choice to make, Adam and Eve would merely have been under obligation to the Lord God, like slaves under compulsion or robots programmed to carry out certain tasks. Our loving Heavenly Father is not honored by force, unwilling, artificial submission. Rather, he is pleased and exalted when we obey him because we know he is trustworthy, wise, and always acts in love toward us. So love and obey him from the heart. Amen. Praise be to God. Jesus, I want to demonstrate my love to you through obedience. Show me the path I should take. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. And I pray that this devotional message was a blessing to you, as it was unto me. To God be the glory. At this time, I will play another selection, and after this selection, I will come back with a word from the Lord. Amen.
You know I want you. We worship you this morning, Lord. We declare together that it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus, at the center of it all. singing, Jesus at the center of it all. Jesus at the center of it all. From beginning to the end, it will always be, it's always been you, Jesus, nothing else matters, nothing in this world will do, Jesus, you're the Jesus be the center, say, Jesus be the center of my life. Jesus be the center of my life. From beginning to the end, it will always be, it's always been you.
Amen. Praise be to God. Now, if you have your Bibles, I'd like for you to turn with me to the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 15, and we're going to read verses 35 through 52. Amen. 1 Corinthians, chapter 15, verses 35 through 52, and I'm reading from the New Living Translation. And this is the resurrection body. But someone may ask, how will the dead be raised? What kind of bodies will they have? What a foolish question. When you put a seed into the ground, it doesn't grow into a plant unless it dies first. And what you put in the ground is not the plant that will grow, but only a bare seed of wheat or whatever you are planting. Then God gives it the new body he wants it to have. A different plant grows from each kind of seed. Similarly, there are different kinds of flesh. One kind for humans, another for animals, another for birds, and another for fish. There are also bodies in the heavens and bodies on the earth. The glory of the heavenly body is different from the glory of the earthly body. The sun has one kind of glory, while the moon and stars each have another kind, and even the stars differ from each other in their glory. It is the same way with the resurrection of the dead. Our earthly bodies are planted in the ground when we die, but they will be raised to live forever. Our bodies are buried in brokenness, but they will be raised in glory. They are buried in weakness, but they will be raised in strength. They are buried as natural human bodies, but they will be raised as spiritual bodies. But just as there are natural bodies, there are also spiritual bodies. The scripture tells us the first man, Adam, became a living person. But the last Adam, that is Christ, is a life-giving spirit. What comes first is the natural body. Then the spiritual body comes later. Adam, the first man, was made from the dust of the earth, while Christ, the second man, came from heaven. Earthly people are like the earthly man, and heavenly people are like the heavenly man. Just as we are now like the earthly man, we will someday be like the heavenly man. What I am saying, dear brothers and sisters, is that our physical bodies cannot inherit the kingdom of God. These dying bodies cannot inherit what will last forever. But let me reveal to you a wonderful secret. We will not all die, but we will all be transformed. It will happen in a moment, in the blink of an eye, when the last trumpet is blown. For when the trumpet sounds, those who have died will be raised to live forever. And we who are living will also be transformed. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his mighty word. Amen. Praise be to God. So Christians alive at that day will not have to die, but will be transformed immediately. A trumpet blast will usher in the new heaven and earth. The Jews would understand the significance of this because trumpets were always blown to signal the start of the great festivals and other extraordinary events. And you'll find that in Numbers 10 and 10. Amen? Praise God. So, the subject of this message is the resurrection, the resurrected body. This subject has been one of much talk and study. It has also been a subject of controversy. Some basic ideas will be presented. Amen. My text for this message is coming from 1 Corinthians 15 and 38 in the NIV, and it says, "But God gives a seed, a body, as he has determined, and to each kind of seed, he gives its own body." Amen? Praise be to God. And the title of this message is, "The Body That Pleases God." To have a resurrected body, one of two things must happen. One must die. 1 Corinthians 15:36. This is universally true for all of God's creation. To reach its maximum, it must die. Paul uses the seed as a classic example. A tree, to reach its maximum, must be converted into something other than just a tree, such as lumber. So it is with Christians. To arrive at God's best, death becomes an entrance. Amen? 1 Corinthians 15:51 says, "The Lord will return. Everyone will not die. Some Christians will be alive when the Lord returns. When he does come back, the bodies of those who are still alive will have the same transformation as the dead in Christ." And you'll find that in 1 Thessalonians 4, chapter 4, verses 16 through 17. Amen? Now the resurrection, the resurrected body of the Christian will be pleasing to God and suitable to its environment. 1 Corinthians 15, 38 through 56. Paul was earthly illustration. Paul uses earthly illustrations to prove his point. People have flesh suitable for their environment according to the plan of God. So do beasts, fish, and birds. Amen? Corinthians 15:42-49 says the Christian draws his own conclusion. An age-old question must be considered. Will Christians know each other in heaven? People recognize the glorified body of Jesus. the parable of Lazarus and the rich man seems to teach that same thing. The Lord has arranged for the best, whatever it is. Amen? The resurrected body is part of God's plan. Every change is for the best. Corruptible will put on incorruption, and mortal will put on immorality. All defects will be done away with. Amen? Praise God. 1 Corinthians 15:57 says, this glorious resurrected body comes through the power of the resurrected Christ. Jesus came from heaven to take his followers to heaven. He went through the natural to make humans spiritual. Because this resurrected body is of Christ, all Christians should take courage. Believers should take a Christian view of death in time of sorrow. They should rejoice in hope. Amen? Praise be to God. Hallelujah, Jesus. And my conclusion is, you who have lost Christian loved ones by death, rejoice in their welfare. You who are Christians, rejoice in the hope of your future welfare. Amen. I hope and pray that this message was a blessing to you as it is unto me. To God be the glory. And if you have not accepted Christ as your personal Savior and you want to do so, now is the time. And all you have to do is repeat this prayer of salvation after me. Father, I know that I have sinned and fallen short of your grace and mercy. Lord, please have mercy on me. I am a sinner. Save me, deliver me, and set me free from all that hinders and binds me. Please help me to avoid sinning again. I believe that your Son, Jesus Christ, died for my sins, was resurrected from the dead, is alive, and hears my prayer. Jesus, become the Lord of my life to rule and reign in my heart from this day forward. I need your Holy Spirit to help me obey you and do your will for the rest of my life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen, amen, and amen. And if you have said that prayer and believe in your heart that Jesus died on the cross, rose from the dead, is alive, I now welcome you into the body of Christ. And all you have to do is to pray and ask the Holy Spirit to guide you to a good Bible-based church to continue your walk with Christ. Amen. God be the glory. And my benediction is coming from Jude 24:25, where it says, now all glory to God, who is able to keep you from falling away and will bring you with great joy into his glorious presence without a single fault. All glory to him who alone is God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord. All glory, majesty, power, and authority are his before all time and in the present and beyond all time. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. At this time, I will play a selection while we're waiting on our speaker for this evening. To God be the glory.
Father, we ask you now, as we lift your name, that you'll dwell among us and be our God, and we are your people. Let's be like this together. No matter what,
no matter what,
come on, the problem
may be,
he's in control.
He's in control and he knows
yes,
everything.
I have the victory cause.
I have the victory for he is my king.
In him I live, I move,
in him and I live, move and have my being.
Say it again. No matter what,
no matter what, the problem may be,
he's in control.
He's in control and he knows everything.
How many know that you got the victory?
I have the victory for he is my king.
Him I live, I move,
in
and
him I live, I move, and have my king.
Say like the best of people.
Best of
come on, lift them up in here.
Control. He's in
control and he knows
everything. I have the
victory for
him. I have the victory for he is my king.
In him I live.
In him I live, move and have my being.
Say it again. No matter what,
the problem may be.
Come on, clap your hands like this and sing it with us.
He's in control and he knows everything.
I have the victory
for he is my king.
In him I live.
In him I live, move
and have my being. Can you believe that? Sing this with us. Let's go. Come on, lift him up.
Thank you.
Praise be to God. Holy is your name. Unfortunately, our speaker for this evening is unable to be with us, so I will play some inspirational music, and after that, I will come back with a word from the Lord. Amen. Praise be to God. Amen. Praise be to God. Now, if you have your Bibles, I'd like for you to turn with me to the book of Matthew. Amen. That's the book of Matthew in the middle of your Bible in the New Testament. And we're going to go to chapter 13. And chapter 13, and we're going to read verses 47 through 50. Amen. That's Matthew 13, verses 47 through 50. And again, I'm reading from the New Living Translation, where it says, Verses is talking about Jesus tells the parable of the fishing net. Amen. And it says, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a fishing net that was thrown into the water and caught fish of every kind. When the net was full, they dragged it up upon the shore, unto the shore, sat down and sorted the good fish into crates, but threw the bad ones away. That is the way it will be at the end of the world. The angels will come and separate the wicked people from the righteous, throwing the wicked into the fiery furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Amen. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his mighty word. So the parable of the fishing net, has the same meaning as the parable of the wheat and weeds. We are to obey God and tell others about his grace and goodness. But we cannot dictate who is part of the kingdom of heaven and who is not. This sorting will be done at the last judgment by those infinity more qualified than we. Amen. Praise be to God. Let us pray. Our Father, help us remember that you are always present to give help in times of our struggles. Help us to live our days in such a way that we have no regrets when the evening comes. Help us to fix our eyes on you as our help, as our aim, as the very center of our being, and as our everlasting friend. Guide us in whatever path you see fit. Help us to accept your purpose for us, even when we do not understand why it is your will for us to walk in a certain way. Give us the faith that we need to go forward, but give us the patience that we need so that we may wait when that is necessary. Accept our gifts this evening and use them to do the things that we cannot do ourselves. Bless the many people who will be affected by these gifts. Help us to realize that we have not discharged our entire duty merely because we have brought our money into the storehouse. Make us vessels that can be used effectively in personal living and daily witnessing. Make this part of the worship service vital and meaningful to each of us, as sacred and holy as the preaching, the praying, and the singing. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, and amen. This parable has a close connection with the parable of the wheat and tares in both. The thought is put forward that we will know the difference between the genuine Christian and the one who merely claims to be a Christian. When our Lord makes the distinction at the end of time, as we know it, both parables should teach us patience in dealing with people and tolerance concerning those who do not share every conviction we hold. Let the master decide who the counterfeit people are, who are Christians but may be wrong on certain points, and who are the genuine devoted Christians who understand the will of God. Indeed, can any of us be bold and boastful even to claim infallibility in discerning the truth of God and sinless in implementing his commandments? Think about that. Amen. Tonight my message is divided into three paragraphs. Amen. Number one, a parable of everyday life. The dragnet is what we usually call the scene net. In the New Testament days, it probably had corks at the top and weights at the bottom, making it stand upright in the water. The fishermen would attach ropes to the four corners and draw it through the sea. Into it were swept all kinds of things, including, of course, great numbers of fish. When it was brought to shore, the men sorted out the things caught in the net. The usable fish were delivered to the market. The useless things were thrown away. Amen? So most of the disciples lived in the general area where the fishing business prospered. They would identify quickly with this story, for they had often seen what has been called the drama of the dragnet. We can almost imagine, as we read the parable, that we see the squirreling, leaping mass of fish with the sun shining on their iridescent scales. Jesus admired wholesome toil and no doubt took great delight in telling a simple story of everyday life to the massive in order that they might profit spiritually. Amen? We should not seek to attach special significance to every part of the story, nor attach special meanings to the net, sea or beach, or try to force the parable into precise analogies. The simple an obvious meaning in the parable must have been what Jesus intended. Amen. He did not expect his hearers in that day or our day to look for deep and hidden meanings to his stories. Indeed, the simplicity of Jesus in his teachings was and is one of the things that makes him universally attractive to and accepted by all people, especially the simple and unsophisticated mass. Diversity of the kingdom's members. One thing stands out as quite significant in our Savior's ministry. He had an across the board approach that reached men and women of all temperaments and lifestyles. Christ has a university of a peer. No other religious leader had the ability to reach people at all levels of life, educational, cultural, emotional, economic. The Oriental religions leaders could not do it because they were too mystical. Greek philosophy could not do it, for it was too academic. Islam could not do it because it was too militant. Only Jesus had the ability to pull together all things in the world around himself. He was the source of creation and is the goal of creation. When we grasp the centrality of Jesus, we see all other things in relationship to him. One of our poets expressed it this way: I see his blood upon the rose, and in the stars the glory of his eyes. His body gleams amid eternal snow, his tears fall from the skies. I see his face in every flower, the thunder and the singing of the birds are but his voice and carved by his power. Rocks are his written words. All pathways by his feet are worn. His strong heart stirs the ever-beating sea. His crown of thorns intertwined with every thorn. His cross is every tree. Joseph Mary Plunkett. Amen. Don't be left out. When the gospel net is flung into the world, it attracts people in great abundance. Some, of course, do not respond. They excuse themselves. They choose to be unbelievers and resist. Every impression the Holy Spirit makes on their hearts. Another group is excluded, those who come into the net but are never actually transformed by the Holy Spirit. Analogies often overlap and fail to stay exactly in detail. Everything that refers to the matter. For instance, this parable is similar to the parable of the wheat and tares in that it points to the harvest or judgment. When a separation will take place in this parable, the casting away of the bad fish seems to symbolize the testing of the believers to ascertain whether his work proved the genuineness of his salvation experience. One simple fact stands out clearly. The kingdom is for everybody. Unless one is a genuine believer, he or she is not truly a child of God and will not receive the rewards of the Christian life at the end of time. Many touchstones may be suggested to prove one's experience is real. Is our life in harmony with the principles taught by Jesus? Or do we keep ourselves pure from the polluting influence of sin? Are we genuinely concerned about those who have needs in the world? In a sense, every day is a judgment day. As we live, our works are tested. The swiftly passing moments reveal our character to those with whom we associate in day-by-day relationships. The full story, however, will not be told until the king separates the sheep from the goats. Don't miss out on the greatest privilege in the world, that of being a member of God's kingdom. Respond to the gospel call. Also, be sure that your response is a genuine surrender to Christ, accepting all the implications of being a member of God's kingdom. Praise be to God. And before I bring this message to a close, I just want to say praise be to God. Here are four parables. That of the treasure hid in the field. Many slight the gospel because they look only upon the surface of the field, but all who search the scripture so as in them to find Christ and eternal life, John 5:39, will discover such treasures in this field as makes it unspeakable valuable. They make it their own upon any terms, though nothing can be given as a price for this salvation. Yet much must be given up for the sake of it. All the children of men are busy. One would be rich, another would be honorable, and another would be learned, but most are deceived and take up with counterfeits for pearls. Jesus Christ is a pearl of great price. And having him, we have enough to make us happy here forever. A man may buy gold to dear, but not to his pearl of great price. When the convinced sinner sees Christ as the gracious Savior, all things else becomes worthless to his thoughts. The world is a vast sea, and men in their natural state are like the fishes preaching. The gospel is casting a net into this sea to catch something out of it for his glory, who has the sovereignty of this sea. Hypocrites and true Christians shall be parted. Miserable is the condition of those that shall then be cast away. A skillful, faithful minister of the gospel is a scribe, well-versed in the things of the gospel and able to teach them. Christ compares him to a good householder who brings forth fruits of the last year's growth and this year's gathering, abundance and variety to entertain his friends. Old experiences and new observations all have their use. Our place is at Christ's feet, and we must daily learn old lessons over again and new ones also. Amen. So as I bring this message to a close, this parable emphasizes the importance of all Christians working together to assure maximum results in God's kingdom. The vision in Christ's work tear the net apart and should be avoided. This does not mean that we are to compromise basic convictions, but it does mean that we should seek to understand other Christians and work with them. The net's efficiency depends on the soundness of the entire fiber and the skill with which it is woven together. Every part of God's kingdom should contribute to the other parts to make the net as large and strong as it possibly can be. We need each other, and we need to learn how to help each other further God's work in the world. Amen. I'll say that again. We need each other, and we need to learn how to help each other further God's work in the world. I hope and pray that this message was a blessing. Okay, in God, in the world. The net is not to blame because some bad fish get into it. Neither is the fishing a failure, and more than the sowing of the seed was a failure because so much that was sowed fell on stony soil or weed encumbered ground. The Lord is continually sending out his fishermen, and they are constantly casting their nets into the sea. We shall never win everybody to Christ, but we need to keep on trying to reach as many as possible. Amen, amen, and amen. And I pray that this message was a blessing to you as it is to me. God bless you, and have for the reading of his word. And if you have not accepted Christ as your personal Savior and you want to do so, now is the time. And all you have to do is to repeat this prayer after me. Father, I know that I have sinned and fallen short of your grace and mercy. Lord, please have mercy on me. I am a sinner. Save me, deliver me, and set me free from all that hinders and binds me. Please help me to avoid sinning again. I believe that your Son, Jesus Christ, died for my sins, was resurrected from the dead, is alive, and hears my prayer. Jesus, become the Lord of my life to rule and reign in my heart from this day forward. I need your Holy Spirit to help me obey you and do your will for the rest of my life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen, amen, and amen. And if you have said that prayer and believe in your heart that Jesus died on the cross, rose from the dead, is alive, I now welcome you into the family of God. And all you have to do is to pray and ask the Holy Spirit to guide you to a good Bible-based church to continue your walk with Christ. Amen. And my benediction for this message is coming from Jude 24 through 25. And it says, now all glory to God, who is able to keep you from falling away and will bring you with great joy into his glorious presence without a single fault. All glory to him who alone is God, our Savior through Jesus Christ our Lord. All glory, majesty, power, and authority are his before all time and in the present and beyond all times. And let us all say amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. So at this time, I will play a selection for the remainder of our time.
I can't help some sir. don't you know that Jesus is calling you?
by God before the world was made. For the Lord has called you out of darkness into his glorious light of redemption. Let us pray. Repeat after me. Lord, I am sorry for my sins. I repent for my sins, and I thank you for sending Jesus Christ to die for my sins. Jesus, I ask you to come into my life right now. Be my Lord, Savior, and friend. Let your Holy Spirit abide in me. Help me to follow you all the days of my life as your disciple. I thank you for forgiving me and receiving me right now. Any prodigal sons and daughters out there that would like to be rededicated, let us pray. God, I am sorry for my sins. I am sorry that I have strayed from you. I ask you for your forgiveness. I repent for my sins. I don't want to live like a prodigal son any longer, or a prodigal daughter. Renew, revive me as I once again follow you. I thank you, Lord.
I am leaving this place now, letting Thank you for tuning in. And if you'd like to be a blessing to this ministry, you can send your love gift offerings to Pray One for Another, P.O. Box 596, Bronx, New York, 10468.